Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. So we're going to finish up our series, Yes. Yes, been good. How many enjoyed this so far? Yes, I'm telling you. How many dreams have been resurrected? New dreams, fresh things, expecting new stuff. Anybody? Three people. That's awesome. So it's good. We did it for you. It was worth it just for those three, I'm telling you. Hey, let me show you a picture. That's the building plans for the church in Haiti. That's just some of them. But isn't that great? That's just a few of the plans, just threw a few on a slide so you could take a look. But we're building that church this year. We're building that. That's going to be known as a revival center and a gathering place. Nations will go to be trained and released in the goodness and the glory of God. Well, you say some ridiculous stuff. I do not. God said he can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask, more than you speak. God, you speak the word. God's like, I'm looking for somebody to say some bold stuff. I'm looking for somebody to speak. You know, I love it. It says Abraham was lifted eye to eye with God. Abraham was lifted eye to eye with God. It's in Romans chapter 5, or is it 4:17, 5:17? It says he was lifted eye to eye with God. And it says, and he began to speak. A man began to speak God kind of stuff. A man began to speak out of the nature of God, and he began to speak of the same spirit of faith as God. The DNA of faith exploded in his life, and he started to speak the purposes of God over the earth. Big stuff. How many got a big God? A big God. Oh, big God. All right, we're going to talk today quickly. We're going to talk about how to kind of pull it all together now and how to get this all manifest and how to connect your hand with your heart. Because sometimes you got that dream in your heart and then you look at your hand and you're like, I got this massive dream and I got this hand. I got this massive dream and I look at me. I got this massive thing in my spirit, but then I look at me. And we sometimes think there's limitations because we look at us or what we have or what it is, and we're not sure how this is going to achieve this, and we got to get it connected, and we got to get it working together. Let's do it. Come on. All right. Come on, recap. Come on with me. 2 Corinthians 1:20, NIV says, for no matter how many, I don't care how many of the promises of God are, I don't care how many they are, there could be a multitude, it doesn't matter how many they are, they are all yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to God. So God speaks a promise, we say, yeah, and then we go, amen, so be it. I am healed, amen. I'm the God who heals you, I'm healed, amen. Don't ever back up on the promises of God. That is to challenge the very nature of who he is. I mean, God speaks some. He says, I hold my word above my name. Like his word, he says, I hold my word above my name. So when you challenge the word of God, you're challenging his name. You're challenging his character. And you're saying, you're not as good as you say you are. Don't ever back up on the promises of God. Because they are yes. I don't care how many there are. I don't care how outlandish it may seem. All the promises of God are yes and amen. He's faithful. How many feel he's faithful? Feel that. That's good. Say, Pastor, move on. That's why you're so long. You get stuck in like the first slide. And, you know, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above all. He's able to do what you ask or think. No, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Holy moly, Batman. And I love Batman. But he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more. Whatever I dream, whatever I imagine, God says, too small. It's bigger. Oh, God. According to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. Come on, why is the church important? Because to him be glory in the church. And listen, this is not a little thing now until he comes. It says to him be glory in the church in all generations forever and ever. Amen. The church is the eternal purpose of God. It's not some little hangout until he gets us out of this mess. It is being born a body, a created body for his headship to be manifest throughout the whole earth. I get stuck on another slide just like that. That's how it happens. Genesis 37:5, now Joseph had a dream and he told his brothers and they hated him even more. How many have had a dream? I see Jamaica set on fire with one tent meeting, a global revival starting right there. I hate the pastor when he does that. I hate him. He's sharing stuff. He must think he's so important. I don't think I'm important, but I think the one who's sending me is awesome. He says, when you speak, Carl, speak as an oracle of God. So when you speak, this is God speaking to you right now. You ready? He's going to heal all your bodies tonight. You're all going to walk out of your healed, set free, and delivered. What? Yeah. So I'm not coming packing my power. I'm coming packing his power. And all his promises are yes and amen. And he is faithful to do. He's faithful. Whatever he calls you to do, he is faithful and he will do it. Glory to God. You must have a dream. Pastor, you get stuck on a slide again. Genesis 37:18-19. Now, when they saw him from afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. And then they said to one another, look, it's this dreamer who's coming. Oh, I hate those dreamers. No, I hate those dreamers because they make my life look so common, so average. Wish I could dream because, you know, those dreamers, they just, you know, they're all, woody-doo, God's good, I'm walking in glory, I'm full of joy. Ooh, glory to God. And I just hate it when they're around. So I want to go to the church where everybody's kind of average. How you doing? Well, the gout's been acting up, but it's okay if I drag my foot like this. Really, eh? How about you? Well, I got that infection in my eye again, but if I put a lid on it and I don't sleep with the lights on, oh, my God. Oh, that's good. I don't feel so bad. Your life's a mess too, eh? Oh, that's good. Let us suffer at the river together as winners, conquerors, victorious, condemned to overcome. Woo! All right, Pastor, relax. Dream killers, they come. People come. Minute you pop up and say, God is good. No, he's not. You stick your head up anyways. And you watch God, he'll manifest himself. Genesis 39:1-2, now Joseph been taken to Egypt. He went there, he was naked, there was nothing. He had everything stripped from him, and he went to Potiphar's house, and he was there, and the captain of the guard, the Egyptian, brought him in, and he took him into the house, and says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He didn't have a stitch of clothing, he had nothing. He didn't have a wallet, he didn't say, do you know my dad? He didn't say nothing. He was just a slave, couldn't even speak the language, but God was with him, and he was a successful man. Tell me, is God with you? Did you know that the new covenant is better than the old covenant? So did you know that everybody in the new covenant walks in better promises with better blessing than what Joseph was walking in? Did you know that what you're carrying and the legal right for God to break in through your life is more powerful than what they walked in? Do you know that? Oh, Jesus. Genesis 39:1-2, it says, now Joseph had taken to Egypt, Potiphar's house. I just read that. Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made prosper. How would you like to, whatever you do, the Lord makes prosper? Whatever you do, the Lord makes prosper. You know, the Word of God says you have what you say. It says about Samuel that God didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. That's an old covenant. How would you like to be in a place where when you speak God's word, God is attentively watching over it to bring it to pass? Do you believe that? He has to. He has to. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. Wow, so good. The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made prosper. Chapter 41:14, then Pharaoh sent Joseph and called him, and he brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And when Joseph heard that Pharaoh's called you, immediately he shaved and changed his clothes. I love that. It may seem like a simple little thing. You just read over that. But I love that he said, Pharaoh's calling you. Just a minute. It's my time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He got changed and he shaved and he said, this is it. Woohoo! This is my time. Woo! I was created for this moment. Yes! He's 30 years old. He got the dream when he was 17. Here we are 13 years later. How many in the fifth year of your vision? How many in the 10th year of your vision? How many in the 28th year of your vision? You know what? Don't wait. I mean, don't worry about it. Don't, because you know what? Though the vision tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. Tell you, God's not going to fail you. You know what? Come on! I'm trying to preach here. Settle down. Clothing for a new season. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good stuff. All right. Genesis 41, 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The NLT says, this man is obviously, it's obvious. I mean, people at work, when they go to the water, you know, counter, or they go to the coffee pot, they're like, man, Nicole, she's obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, it's obvious. Hey, Liz, she is obviously filled with the Spirit of God. It's obvious. She's different. I mean, she walks into stuff, stuff shifts. She comes into a bad situation, suddenly gets baptized with good. She walks into a situation with trouble, suddenly it turns around, there's hope, and there's power, and there's peace, and there's strength. When you walk into the room, everything changes. You know what? You're carrying that same anointing that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. When you walk into the room, everywhere you go, the kingdom of God comes into manifestation. Amen? Come on, looking for some dark stuff today. Woo, come on. Because I am a light bearer. I'm a standard carrying the anointing, the power of God. The light of his glory is gushing out of my belly. Boy, I'm sorry. I'm just getting carried away. Having fun. You having fun? Come on, speak to yourself. Say, cheer up. All right, Genesis 41, 55. Egypt was famished and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. There's trouble everywhere. The people were famished. Trouble, trouble, trouble. And Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. See, this Joseph had this dream when he was 17 years old. This is a fulfillment of his dream. And he had these dreams about how he would be, the whole known world would come and bow to him. He would literally be someone that the whole world would look to, and everybody would come and say, Joseph, you're the one. Joseph, you have the solution. You can meet our need in this time of famine. Wow. And he stepped into, but you see, for the dream to be realized wasn't it. Now he had to do it. Well, then, well, finally the dream came true. I can sit down and just have a coffee. And now it was time to do the dream. Now it's time to be the dream. See, because there's one thing to have a dream, but you got to believe that I'm not just going to have it. I'm actually one day going to step into it, and I'm going to operate in it, and I'm going to manifest that dream, and I'm going to display the goodness and kindness of God to others. Say others. Others. That's why he gives you dreams, for others. No, it's my dream. No, if it's not including others, it's not a dream from God. Because God wants others. So Joseph used his talent for interpreting dreams to bring him into his dream. So Joseph, what was in his hand, the talent that he had, the skill that he had, even as a young, young man, was that he could interpret dreams. He could have dreams. He could interpret dreams. And the same skill that was in his hand was the same skill that brought into manifestation what was in his heart. So what was in his hand and what was in his heart came into absolute union, and he manifests God's purpose in his life. And so you got to understand that you got to realize that God's put something in your hand so that what's in your heart can come into full manifestation. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? All right, let's look at that. Exodus chapter 2, 11 and 12. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. He went, whoop, whoop. He didn't see anybody around, so he slew him. Just little King James there. He killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. So what? This is Moses now. We went over to Moses. Moses was a redeemer of the world, just like Joseph. God had a purpose for his life. He had something in his life, something he created him for and called him to do. And here he was, he got a revelation. My people should be free. My people should not be oppressed. And so he saw somebody oppressing his people, which is the right revelation. But he took the wrong instrument at the wrong time. And he killed an Egyptian. And he said, I'm going to make this happen. And you see, when you use the wrong instrument at the wrong time, it will generally put you in the wrong place. And he found himself running away from his destiny because here he was. I thought that's what God wanted me to do. That's what's in my heart. I tried to manifest what was in my heart, but he did it with a different instrument and he did it at the wrong time. He did it on a time of his own choosing and suddenly found himself 40 years in the desert. God's committed to you. Doesn't matter how long. I mean, and like I said a few weeks ago, you know what? When you fail God's test, you know what you get? You get to do them again. When you fail God's test, he doesn't disqualify you and say you're done. You just get to do a rewrite. I've seen a lot of people, though, rewriting tests for years and years and years, going around the same mountain over and over again, coming up with the wrong answers. So we want to connect our hand and our heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want my hand and my heart connected today. I want my dream in my hand. I want there to be that connection in my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. All right, Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 4. So now Moses was tending the flock. Now Moses is tending the flock. So now he goes from being a prince with armor and a sword to wearing a tunic in the wilderness with sheep. And he's got a rod. He's got a shepherd's crook. Now Moses is tending the flock, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So bushes in the wilderness, in the desert, sometimes real hot, they would just spontaneously blow up. No big deal. But this time, there's a bush blown up in flames, and it's not consumed. And he's looking, going, that's really interesting. So the flame blows up, and he says, I will turn aside to see this great sight. I will turn aside. So when the Lord saw. When the Lord, I love God like this. You know what? A lot of you folks have a burning bush in your life right now. A lot of you, God's trying to speak to you. He's trying to bring you into the fullness of what he has. But, you're just, oh, that's neat. Oh, that's good. But you know what? God wants you to turn aside. When he was going to turn aside, when God saw that he was going to turn aside, then God spoke to him and he called from him to him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. How was that? Was that good? All right. So he called to him out of the bush. Then you go on and you'll see what he said to him. I mean, suddenly now Moses is like, all right, it's time. We're going to go back. We're going to set the people free. Yeah, not digging that. I'm not feeling it anymore. I felt it 40 years ago. Thought it was a great plan. I'm kind of enjoying myself out here in the wilderness with these sheep. It's pretty cool. No pressure. It's all good. Kind of like it. And he's like, who am I that I should go? And he says, what shall I say to them? I mean, what if they don't believe me? I'm not eloquent. I was trained in the greatest universities in the world, but I don't know nothing. Please send someone else. I mean, you got some people, they want to do it when it's not time, and then when it is time, they're ready to retire. Send somebody else. And then what did God say to him? God said, what's that in your hand? What is that? What is that? What is that in your hand? And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. There's something in your hand that God wants to touch, and he wants to empower, and he wants to do something. So God gave Moses five I wills. He said, Moses, I will be with you. I will bring you out. I will stretch out my hand, and I will give you favor. Sorry, it's only four I wills. It's only four. I will be with you. I will bring you out. I will stretch out my hand. I will give you favor. He promised presence, power, protection, and provision. Isn't that nice? I promise you that in your destiny, what I've called you to do, that there's going to be presence, there's going to be power, there's going to be protection, and there's going to be provision. Until such a point as, now there's always protection. There's always provision. There's always his presence. There's always his power. Always. Always. So he's trying to convince him, come on, I'm not going to call you to do something and then, not be there for you. He said, I will. I will. Come on, God will do it for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will do it. God will do it. Now, a simple staff becomes an instrument of God. A simple staff. Now, this staff, with the staff, he confronts Pharaoh. He goes into Pharaoh. I mean, the staff turns into a snake and a serpent. I mean, all of these things, all this amazing stuff. He turns the Nile River into blood. He parts the Red Sea with it. He gets water out of a rock. Like, this was not a massive big mountain where he went, boom. I mean, he got water from a rock. I mean, this rock started to spew out a river of water that fed millions of flocks and people, and it followed them in the wilderness. Like, I mean, Mom, that rock's following. You know that rock where the river's coming out? It's following us. It's awesome. It's the provision of God. Right? I mean, all this victory over the Amalekites. He held up his hands with the rod of God. And as long as his hands were up, the guys down there won. It wasn't how hard they were fighting. It was the rod of God. Now, that would have bothered me a little bit. I mean, you're down in the valley fighting like crazy. And all of a sudden, these guys are beating us back. Moses dropping it. Put your hands back up. Here's the lesson. The blessing of God doesn't depend on how good of a fighter you are. It depends on the finished work of the cross. Oh, I'm not going to go down there and fight because I'm not a really good fighter. The fight is won on the mountain. And in our covenant, it's already won on the mountain called Calvary. You win. All you got to do now is show up and say, boo! Oh, I forgot my sword. Boo! Where's that in the Bible? It's somewhere. Boo! It was when Jesus walked in the room and the door was locked and he walked through and he went, boo! No, he didn't. He said, peace, peace. That was good. Hey, when Jesus walks through a door and he just kind of comes out of nowhere, you want to hear the first word? Peace. A guy just walked through a wall. Peace. That's a good word. Okay, never mind, Pastor. Keep moving. You're doing good. Okay, so this is good stuff right here. Say amen. All right. So now listen, a simple staff becomes that instrument of God's power and God's authority. Now, what if Moses did not surrender to staff? If he hadn't surrendered to staff, a nation stays in slavery, 1,000 die in bondage, we would have never heard of Moses, and the staff would not have become the rod of God. So, I mean, Moses surrendered his staff, and he got in the program, and he embraced what God wanted him to do. All right, so in your hand, what's in your hand is of no internal significance. What's in your hand is of no eternal significance. Well, that's good, Pastor. I want you to listen to this, because this could be tricky, and I don't want it to be tricky. I've spent a lot of time while I was doing my notes this morning just trying to not make this tricky. So I want it to be clear. But what's in your hand has no eternal significance. What's happening right now while you cling to what's in your hand? See, there's two things. At the bottom, you can't quite see it, but the bottom it says, pride, it's mine, or fear, I'm not useful. Those are two problems. Because what's in your hand has no eternal significance until you let it go. Because if you cling to it, it's mine, 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 it's going to have no eternal significance. It's also, if you don't think, if you look at your hand, and you look at you, and you look in the mirror, and you say, I'm nobody, that's a problem. A lot of people, they can't get their dream and their hand connected because they say, I got a great big dream, but I'm too small for it. I'm too insignificant for it. I'm not talented. I don't have the ability. I'm going to dream little dreams because when I look at me, only dreams that are small could I ever dream because I looked at my hand, and this can't do much. See, when you do that, pride says, I'm ready, I'm here. Pride is when you chop somebody up and throw them in the desert when it's not time yet, but you're the man for the hour. But fear says, I'm nobody, I'm not going to try. I don't mind just sitting in the back row. I'll come to church every week, but don't put any demands on me. Did that make sense to anybody? Okay, so what's happening while you devalue your hand? What's happening while you cling to your hand? What's happening? Who or what awaits deliverance? Because you are unwilling to surrender these things to God. Now, pop into the new covenant. Paul, 130 times, he says, in Christ. 130 times, a technical term, in Christ. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. You are complete. It's the word plero. The word means to make in particular, in every particular, and to render perfect. Wow. You are perfect in him. In every single aspect of your life, your purpose, your calling, you are perfect in Christ. In your own self, in your own ability, in your own power, it's nothing. Jesus said, apart from him, I can do nothing. But you know, when you give it to him, though, he has made you complete. You are complete in every particular. You are rendered perfect to carry through to the end and accomplish and to fully carry out whatever assignment he has for you. You are complete in him. Isn't that good? Thank you, Pastor. You're doing good, Pastor. Come on, keep moving. All right. God has uniquely equipped you and resourced you for his purpose. God has uniquely equipped you and resourced you for his purpose. Each one, is each one here? Each one, put up your hand. Each one, there you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering the grace of God in its various forms. Aren't you glad everybody's not like me? Say a big yes. It would be ugly. It'd be awful. Like last week, Pastor Vincent, he was telling us about, you know, your hand and your retinas, your fingerprints, your cells, your DNA. I mean, you are uniquely you. There's nobody like you. And God did that on purpose. He just is nuts about you. He didn't want all kinds of people the same stuff. He wanted to uniquely love you, uniquely gift you and call you. So every one of us are uniquely equipped to fulfill a purpose. Amen. Ecclesiastes 6-9, it says, and this is from the Living Bible. I love this. 6:9, it says, and this is really interesting, isn't it? I was just looking this up because I was thinking the other day while I was driving, it's kind of like a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And I said, I know that's an idiom. I'm sure it's not in the Bible. But I did a search for it, and it's actually in the Living Bible. The Living Bible is a paraphrase, but I thought it was really interesting that that's how he paraphrases. Because there's a lot of people that keep on thinking that there's something outside of them, that I've got to get this or go to the next conference or get another prophecy or get another impartation, or somebody's got to whack a hand on me. Something's got to happen. I need more of this. I need more of this. And literally, this guy says, a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. Mere dreaming of nice things is foolish. It's chasing the wind. He's literally saying, what you God is powerful. Quit thinking about what you don't have. Quit thinking about what you may not have or be equipped with. What you got right now is amazing. Quit trying to think about what you don't possess. What you got now is powerful. Amen. So that was interesting just for you. I know that's his paraphrase, but that's how he paraphrased that verse. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Some people still pursuing the two in the bush, and you're not thrilled about what God gave you. I mean, look at your hand. Look at it. You are awesomely equipped to do some powerful stuff. You really are. And you know what? When you're faithful in a little, he's going to give you more. And when you're faithful in a bit more, he's going to unpack more. And when you show stewardship of his purpose and how much you honor what he's graced you with right now, he's going to unpack and unload incredible things in your life. But you got to get your heart in your hand. You got to realize that what you got in your heart is going to be fulfilled by what you're looking at right here in your hand. Get excited about what you have right now. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:11, he made everything beautiful in his time. He also planted eternity in men's hearts, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages with nothing under the sun, but God alone can satisfy. He's put something unique, some special purpose in you that only he can satisfy. And I'm going to show you a picture. You ready? Here's a picture. Who is that guy? That's Bono. What's he holding? Wow, look what's in his hand. He's got a microphone. God gave him a talent. God gave him a gift. He got a microphone. Frankie got a microphone for Christmas. And it goes, and she just shakes what her mama gave her. It's so awesome. But there's Bono, got a microphone. But you know, Bono's a good believer. He really is. Other people don't think he is. You're just crazy. He really is. But here's a guy who realizes that this microphone and this talent that God gave me, it's for others. And he doesn't just sing into crowds. So, didn't that make you feel good? Ha ha, woohoo, all right. Did you pay your tickets? Buy my albums, thank you very much. Oh, he's doing that, show the next picture, look at this. There's him at the UN, there's him with Barack Obama, there's him at the World Economic Forum. He's got a dream to see Africa set free from oppression and set free from bondage and see yokes broken of where the corruption and things aren't getting through to people. And he wants to see things transformed in a whole nation, not only there. I mean, it was his songs, the things he sang. He was singing songs back when Ireland was still fighting and the Catholics and the Protestants were blowing each other up. I mean, he was singing in the name of love. He was singing songs, just saying, I'm going to use what I got in my hand to speak and prophesy over a nation. And then not only that, it's going to open doors for me. It's going to give me platforms where I'm going to stand before kings and I'm going to speak about the purpose and the dream and the passion that's in my heart. Now, what would have happened if he got halfway through his career and he went, you know what? Singing is nothing. This is foolishness. This is pride and worldly arrogance. I'm going to throw away my... I'm going to go build an NGO. I'm going to move to Africa. I'm going to build the biggest orphanage there is. And I'm going to do some amazing things. My dream is going to... Thank God he hung on to his microphone and he stayed in his lane, because he might have started a really cool orphanage. But you know what? I don't know that a singer is really good at administrating an orphanage. I'm not being rude or anything here, but I'm not even sure a businessman can run a country. I'm hoping and praying and believing, I really am, and I'm for it. But I wonder sometimes if people don't have a passion in their heart, but they're in the wrong lane. And so you hope and pray, oh my goodness. And sometimes, I mean, in our country, you know, I mean, it's a drama teacher trying to run a country. I'm like, oh my goodness. We need some statesmen. We need some people who can rally people and do stuff. And, you know, it makes it scary when we're just like, what's happening now? And I'm not saying I'm for or against anything, please. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm just saying, wow, I thank God that somebody here chose to use his strengths and abilities in the construct he was in, and he can do a lot more. I see a lot of people. I've seen pastors who are really good pastors who want to be traveling evangelists and blow up their lives. I've seen traveling evangelists who want to be pastors and blow up their lives. I've seen businessmen who want to be pastors and screw up their lives. I've seen business people who want to be traveling evangelists and blow up their lives, and a whole bunch of other people with them. There's so many people that they're looking in their hand. They don't like what's in their hand. They think that my dream to be fulfilled, I got to be somebody else. I got to do something else. You know, this dream in my heart is so big, I must have to jump in another lane to fulfill it. No, trust God that the dream that he put in your heart, what he put in your hand, if you'll be faithful with what's in your hand, what's in your heart will come into manifestation. Some of you mad at me already because some of you happy. I don't know, but what's in your hand? Look at this now. What's in your hand, David? David would take the harp and he would play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Before David ever killed Goliath, before David ever became the king, David loved to play in his harp. You know what? David playing the harp got him in before the king. David had a relationship with that king when he played his harp well before they had the Goliath thing or all those other things. You know, just doing what's in your hand. Doing what's in your hand skillfully will bring you into your destiny. We already did the reviews, Kelly, so it's all good. You're good. You did good. So, I'm wrapping up really quick. Now, 1 Samuel 17:40, and his sling was in his hand. His sling was in his hand. Hey, wow, look at that. I showed up just in time to kill this uncircumcised giant. Fantastic. What do we get for doing that? And then they want to put their armor. They want to say, to do this, you have to wear this. To do this, you have to become this. To do this, blah, blah, blah. He says, you know what? I killed a bear. I killed a lion. This is no problem. He went down there just with his, you know, gym suit on and his slingshot. And it doesn't say he went, walked up towards the giant, tried to sneak up on him. It says he went down, and when he saw him, he ran towards him. He ran, and while he was running, he said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. I come in the name of the Lord. The giant's like, this little teenager got a slingshot. Then he took his own sword and chopped off his head. Ha! Ha! I'm not ready for this. I'm just a teenager. I can't believe it. And then one day, while you're delivering pizza to your brothers, boom. And you know what? What was David doing? Did he just go to 45 conferences to learn the 20 ways to the 31 things? No, he was just doing what his dad said. Take care of the sheep. Take this to your brothers. In his lane, on any other day, doing what he was called to do, one foot in front of the other, and ba-boom. Hello. All right, let's look at some more slides really quick. You ready? What's in your hand? Shamgar. I love this guy, Shamgar. Shamgar standing in his field, it says, and then they came to steal all his peas, and Shamgar said, I am not running away from my stuff anymore. So it says Shamgar picked up an ox goad. That's what you poke the ox with. Faster, faster. He picked up an ox goad, and he killed 600 Philistines that day. He delivered Israel with an ox goad. Yeah! What's in your hand? Give me another one. Give me another. Samson. I mean, here's Samson. Samson's being attacked by a whole bunch of Philistines. He's looking around. I got nothing in my hand. What's within my reach? He reaches down. He finds a jawbone of an ass. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not talking to you. But you have to understand, look at the word fresh. A fresh jawbone. If there's jawbones within your reach, make sure you get a fresh one. Because, you know, you ever seen an old jawbone? It's not going to cut too many, but a fresh one, it's going to kill a lot of people. All right, so you ever get in a battle and it's the only thing and you reach the jawbone, get the fresh one, all right? He reached out his hand and he grabbed that jawbone and he killed it. Now, young man, what's in your hand? John 6, 9. Hey, here everybody out here starving and you brought them all the way out here. Everybody's hungry. And I heard the master just say, you feed them. You guys got nothing? I got a lunch. Just one day. Just one day like any other day. And here he is. What do I got in my hand? What can I offer the master right now? And he said, I got a lunch. And you know, he walked away with a whole bunch of lunches. If you sow lunch, you get lunch. And he got lunch, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Big cart pulls up, you know, a big tractor trailer pulls up. Mom, come on out. Clean out the refrigerator. I was at a meeting with Jesus. I made an offering. Where'd you get all that stuff? Supernatural favor and provision. Because when you sow into the purpose of the God, you get back pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Anyways, he gave his lunch. One more, maybe two. Dorcas. That's one of my favorites, amen? I love Dorcas, amen? Turn to your neighbor and say Dorcas. All right, for some of you guys, you've heard that a lot. I know. Anyways, I got a friend named Dorcas in Toronto. Alex and Dorcas, they're my friends. They're from Ghana, and her name is Dorcas. So when I say, hey, Dorcas, it's good because that's her name. Okay, so... But and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing their tunics and garments made by Dorcas. Dorcas made those with her hands, with a needle and a thread. She made this stuff. She's dead. They heard this miracle worker in another city. Now, they could not live without Dorcas. Why could they not live without Dorcas? She was a miracle worker, a healer, a deliverer, a master orator of the word of God. No, she made poor people clothes. And they wanted to get Peter, you got to come here. Why? Is a great man of God died? A great politician? A great world leader? No, the lady who knits our clothing. She died, and we can't live without her. Could you raise her up, please? Well, I can sew. Hello? You know, a lot of people, you look at what's in your hand, you go, this doesn't look like that's what's going to bring me into my destiny. If that's what God's put in your hand right now, if you'll be faithful with what's in your hand right now, and you'll do it, yield it as unto the Lord... He'll give it back to you with power. He's not on staff, but that's really good. Maybe I'll put him on staff. Doing what's in your hand will lead to the manifestation of what's in your heart. Doing what's in your hand will lead to the manifestation of what's in your heart. One more slide. One more. God never has you until he has what's in your hand. If you lay it down, he'll restore it to you with power. In God's hand, he only needs what's in your hand. Come on, stand up with me. Come on, just look at your hand. I want you to look at your hand. I want you to get this. You know, the big dream in your heart, God has equipped you with everything you need for that. He's not going to frustrate you. But you know what? The beginning point isn't out there or somewhere else or, you know, 10 more of these or just I got to find Brother Fred to lay his hand on me. God has already imparted to you. Just look at your hand. Really, just look at it. Say, you know what? You know what? In there, I have a responsibility to an assignment from God. I have a responsibility for something that is divine, something that is powerful, something supernatural in nature that God desires to express right now. He has given me stewardship of. Will you lay down what's in your hand? And that doesn't mean you're going to quit doing it. It means you're going to yield it to God, and you're going to say, I do this unto you. What I do it unto you. And when I pick this back up again today, this is not mine. It's what you have given me. And no matter how simple it is or whatever I'm... See, that when you devalue it, when you devalue yourself, you're devaluing a gift of God and something special. Don't ever do that. But you know, when you yield yourself to him and then you say, I'm going to pick it up again, it'll be full of power, presence, purpose. And you start living your life every day and saying, this life is the life where a child of God operates out of the stewardship of everything he's given me. And I'm going to go from glory to glory, from gooder to gooder, from bigger to bigger and better to better. Because this life, this hand right here, God has given gifts, abilities, and talents. And even if you think they're puny and they're small, start there and honor it with all your heart. And you're going to see your dream come into manifestation. You really will. I'm telling you, you really will. You really will. Just bow your heads. Anybody here right now say, Pastor, I just lift my hand right now. So I'm going to yield my hand to Jesus. I give what's in my hand to Jesus right now. Because you've been talking about these dreams things, and quite honestly, I've been getting a bit frustrated. Because I've dreamed before, and it just hasn't come into manifestation, and I'm tired of dreaming, but I yift my hand. I lift my hand right now, and I say, I yield me, my gifts, my talents, who I am. I yield what's in my hand, ever so great, ever so little, whatever it is. I lay it at the Master's feet right now. And Lord, I yield my life to you. Let everything done in my life, Lord, may it be done every moment of my life to honor you and to glorify you. I want to steward all that I am out of the revelation of your greatness and your purposes over me. I was created for greatness. And I thank you, God. I am significant. I am awesome. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now just reach out in front of you and just pick it up. Just like a barbell. Just pull it back to you. Father, I just receive. I pick up again. I will never handle this again without the knowledge that I serve you with these gifts, with these abilities, with these strengths. I have them for the sole purpose of serving you and ministering to others. So how you have graced me, Lord, I want to use it to extend and honor your kingdom and be a blessing for you. I pick it up empowered, refreshed, and renewed in Jesus' name. Now, again, just your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Are you ready? If you're here today and you're saying, wow, I wandered in and I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I have that personal relationship with him. I want you to know that he accepts you. He loves you. He's forgiven your sins. He's healed all your brokenness. And he's here right now to touch you and make you understand and get really tangibly acquainted with his love and his grace. I want you to have a personal relationship with him. If you say, man, I'm not sure if I've got that, then I want to pray for you before you go. And all you have to do is I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And when I say 3, you just put up your hand. There's nobody looking around. It's just you. The only one looking is God, and he loves you, and he's nuts about you. But when I say 3, if you don't know, you just put up your hand, and we're going to pray for you. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Right there. Just put up your hand really high. Really high. Really high. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Okay, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray now. We're all going to pray. So we're praying for you right now. We're praying with you. And the Holy Spirit is praying with you. But just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I receive you right now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sin, for dealing with every bit of my mess, and restoring me to my Heavenly Father. Right now, I can boldly say, I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free. Come into my life, Holy Spirit. Testify that I'm a child of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, that was good. That was really good. Wow. Welcome home. And you know, this doesn't have to be your home, but it's really good to have a church, a place where you go and you get to know people and you get regularly fed and you track. And if you don't have anywhere, somebody might follow up with you and people may tap you on the shoulder and want to talk to you. That's a good thing. No, it's a good thing. I love you guys so much. I just really do. And I love you so much that I want you all to cheer for Atlanta today. But I do love you so much. I cannot believe how stretched my heart is becoming with affection for this house and what he's doing here. And I just so believe in you. You're all so incredibly wonderful. So love you, love you, love you. Our elders are coming forward right now and other people who are ministering at the altar. You should come to the altar regularly. If you haven't been at the altar, come just for no other reason except you just want a fresh altar. You just want a fresh encounter with God. But if you need anything, you need a word, you need healing, you need a touch, you need just anything you need prayer for, these folks are ready to pray for you, and you can be ministered to here at the altar. Otherwise, God bless you. Let the love of the Father just wrap you. Let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ surround you, and go in the power and partnership of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.